The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com. Eric Metaxas Show with your host, Eric Metaxas.
Folks, we return with John Zmirak. But John, right now we're talking about what is a human. And right. The Supreme Court has just upheld that whatever a human is, the Constitution doesn't give you the right to kill one.
Yeah. The leftist vision of the human person, the secular vision of the human person, is completely incompatible with our Constitution. Our Constitution was designed to protect mammals who are also primates, who are also creatures of God. The left, beginning with the progressive movement in the early 20th century, they don't just get the human species wrong, they get our phylum wrong. They think we are termites or ants or some other kind of social animal which have a collective identity, but no real individual identity, where reproduction should be centrally controlled, where all the means of force should be centrally controlled, and we have to work as a unit. And if one dies here or there, or they decide to eat some of the larvae to feed the queen, it doesn't matter because they have no individuality. That is the vision of the left, is that you and I are termites. And by the way, the vision of secular libertarians is a little better. It's that we're lizards who abandon their eggs in the desert. So that's why they don't have very sophisticated ideas about the family.
Well, look,
and the child.
In your very funny, slightly exaggerated way, you are gloriously, brilliantly underscoring the truth of this situation, that there are ultimately two views. One is true, the other is false. And the false view always borrows something from the true view. There's no such thing as 100% falsehood, right? It has to be a perversion of the truth. And what you just said, you're quite right. You see this over and over again. Either you have something that leans toward the biblical view, the true view of what it is to be a human being, or you don't. And when you don't, it leans in the direction of what you were just describing. And we're seeing it everywhere. We're seeing it in America right now. Let me ask you, John, okay, Roe v. Wade is dead. What happens now in the states? What do you suppose will happen around the country? Because unfortunately, abortion is still quite legal right. In most of the country, is it not?
Well, there are plenty of states that have old laws from before Roe v. Wade that were never repealed that should snap back into action. And you have other states which are ready to pass protective laws on abortion. By the way, that's important. There's no such thing as a restrictive abortion law, not to you and me. It's a protective law. It's a comprehensive law. It's a principled law. Don't use the enemy's language. You and I would not talk about laws that prevented lynching. We wouldn't say, oh, that's such a restrictive anti-lynching ban. Oh, that's such a restrictive law against beating your wife. No, we would call it protective. We would call it comprehensive. We have to look at it from the point of view of the unborn baby, not the point of view of the abortionist. So many states will pass protective laws, increasingly protective laws. The left will have to fight them state by state by state instead of having a victory handed to them by the Supreme Court every time. So this, even from a political perspective, this is really important because it takes the left's energy away from pushing new profound despicable evils. They have to go back and defend their old despicable evils.
And you think that that's what will happen in many of these
states? Yeah, this is like the Normandy landing. It opens a second front in the war against a titanic evil. And so the leftists won't be able to focus all their energy on taking our guns or castrating our children. They will have to go back and defend what they thought was conquered territory of killing our babies in the womb. So from every perspective, this is enormously, enormously exciting. Also, you're going to see in blue states that keep abortion legal, that expand it, that make it worse, you're going to see them get poorer and older and more chaotic and more depressed. The divide between red and blue America is going to get more and more extreme. And the outcome of living by these lies, by the Marquis de Sade's political philosophy, by the devil's moral philosophy, will become more and more clear. The way now Los Angeles, the streets are full of homeless people. San Francisco, they're having feces fights. all the places that abused people over vaccines and closed down businesses for COVID and allowed riots after George Floyd. It's increasingly two Americas. And one of those Americas is a lot like the old East Germany. And more and more people are going to leave.
Well, listen, this is let's say this again, that this ruling shows the fundamental health of the United States of America, that we as a nation are still strong enough to uphold the Constitution, to elect presidents who will appoint justices, who will be approved, who will uphold the Constitution. We need to celebrate that, folks. If you had already written America off, I want to say it's a bad day for you. If you're a sour person hoping that Jesus would return this afternoon, I'm sorry to disappoint you, but the Father in heaven, Abba Father, it didn't ordain it for today. So I'm sorry, but that's not God's will. God also has still given us hope and a reason to keep praying and keep hoping.
Also, if you're one of those never Trump Christians who think that Donald Trump's mean tweets outweighed getting pro-life justices on the Supreme Court, maybe you should, you know, go dunk your head in the toilet a few times and flush it, because you've made an ass of yourself.
But John, it's inevitable that people are going to writhe away from the conclusion that because of Donald Trump, period, end of sentence, because of Donald Trump, Kavanaugh got in. Because of Donald Trump, three Supreme Court justices, anybody who did not vote for Trump. I want to say this, folks, let's be honest for a second. Let's be really honest, really raw. If you didn't vote for Trump, if Hillary had been elected in 2016, there is zero chance we would be celebrating the overturn of Roe v. Wade. That is a fact. I don't know how people counter that fact. The people who did not vote for Trump and who said it would be better if somebody like Hillary gets in for one term or whatever fantasy you were living in, where would we be today? Human beings are going to be born as a result of the election of Donald Trump. You don't need to like the man. You don't need to be pro-adultery or pro-mean tweets. You simply need to be rational.
I am pro-mean tweets, Sarah. I want more mean tweets. I'm back on Twitter trying to take up the slack, so follow me on Twitter.
By the way, tweets. John, your tweets are so brilliant. I want to say to people, folks, look, I think Elon Musk just bought Twitter. I think that just was approved. So I'm going to stay on there. John Zmarek is on there. He's worth the price of admission. I retweet most of what you say, your articles and things, because it's a fun environment where you can say things like the things that you say that are just delightful. So if you're not following John Zmarek,
it's a way to have fun with epigrams. And, I always said I would never write for free, but here I am on Twitter actually writing for free.
But you're pointing people to the writing you do for the stream, for
that's
which you
right.
are at
that's
least
right.
paid, if not handsomely paid. You're at least paid for that. But people need to go to stream.org. And folks, let me say this again. Please sign up for my newsletter at ericmetaxas.com. There's all kinds of stuff that we cannot possibly share on this program for many reasons, one of which principally space and time. Please go to ericmetaxas.com. John, I cannot believe we're having this conversation. We're at an end, but praise the Lord.
Yes, this is time for prayers of thanksgiving. for the life in the womb, for our rights of self-defense in the Second Amendment, and all the other things that our founders...
And if you own a J. Crew store, it's time to board it up. We'll be back with more. Thanks for listening. Thank you, John. Whatever happened to our love? I wish I understood. It used to be so nice. It used to be so good. Welcome to the program. It is my privilege now to introduce my friend, John Zmirak. John, do you spell your name with a Z?
Yes, incessantly. How you doing, Eric?
Then I will, too. I will, too, John. I defer to your spelling. John Zmirak, Z-M-I-R-A-K. John, today is Friday, the 24th of June. And as we're recording this, we don't know whether the Supreme Court will release its ruling that effectively ends Roe v. Wade. But we do know that has to happen either today or Monday, I think.
Yeah, it's they certainly have tortured us with suspense. But yesterday they issued a decision, which is every bit as important. Yesterday, and I would say every bit is pro-life. Yesterday, the Supreme Court said that the Constitution means what it says in the Second Amendment. My hope is that today they're going to say the Constitution doesn't mean what it doesn't say, which is anything about the right to kill your baby for sexual convenience. But let's look at the first half of that. New York State, where you live, where I used to live, makes it almost impossible to carry a gun for your own self-protection unless you are friends with the member of the city council or a Hollywood star with a second home in New York or a corporate CEO or somebody with political connections, or if you're a diamond dealer. Basically, if you don't deal in diamonds or have political connections, you cannot carry a gun. So all the people who live in crime-ridden neighborhoods in New York are out of luck. At best, when they need help in 2 minutes, the police will be there in 10 minutes and will draw a nice chalk circle around their body. This is not consistent with an important document that a lot of liberals don't know about called the United States Constitution and a very special section called the Bill of Rights. The Second Amendment is very specific that the right to self-defense is a crucial American right. It's a God-given right.
Wasn't the Constitution, just to interrupt, wasn't the Constitution written by a bunch of white guys with approximately zero vaginas and uteri among them?
Yes.
Did you ever think about that, John?
Yes.
You didn't think about that, did you?
No, that's why I trust it.
Perhaps they could lactate sometime in the future, but they were men when they wrote the Constitution. Yes. Why should I take it seriously? Come on. Come on,
that's
man.
That's precisely why you should take it seriously.
Come on, man.
That's why it doesn't have emojis in it. That's why it's not written in lipstick on a napkin, on a mirror.
But, John, can we at least say that if the founding fathers had vaginae, that we would look at it differently? I'm sorry. I apologize. I just can't get over the fact that there are people who reason a little bit like this. They yeah, actually, well, they kind of think like, hey, Constitution, what does that even mean? And you kind of think like, but you live in a country where you totally take for granted. I mean, I think this is the point, John, my point, that we live in a country where we take for granted everything. If you go to various parts of the third world where you fear for your life constantly, you would think like, couldn't we figure out a way to be safer? Couldn't we have the kind of form of government like they have in America? But if you have this form of government, you tend to take it for granted. So people, I'm just underscoring the fact that people do not seem, which sounds crazy, but it's worth addressing. They don't seem to care about the Constitution. It sort of doesn't mean anything anymore to those people.
Well, they take it for granted, like they take the basic laws of morality for granted, and then they go along and embrace Darwinian nihilism and atheism, and they think, oh, but racism will still be wrong, and people will still treat each other decently,
right?
Because that's what nice people who went to Choate and Harvard do. And first of all, it isn't. We, you and I know that. And secondly, it doesn't last. That's just fumes. You're living on fumes. Yesterday, I saw someone on Twitter say the Second Amendment was written by slave owners. And the proper response to that is, so is the Quran. Go tell that to Muslims.
Ooh, that's a good one. So is the Quran. Well, John, I always have to joke a little bit just because it is painful to think about this stuff, that there are people, let's be honest, the people who are angry about the law that the justices just upheld. The people angry about that decision, I meant to say, was that they don't really actually care about the Constitution. When you and I say we think Roe v. Wade is bad, it's not because we're anti-abortion. That's a separate issue. It's because we are pro-Constitution, and the Constitution simply doesn't have. All I'm trying to say is that even if you are pro-abortion, let's be honest and say that the Constitution, which is the law of the land, does not have any mention of the right, quote unquote, to an abortion. So we need to be honest about the legality of it.
It doesn't imply it. It doesn't insinuate it. In order to create Roe v. Wade, they had to pretend that it was part of an imaginary privacy right. And then 1992, they admitted, nah, it really wasn't. They came up with a totally different rationale in Planned Parenthood versus Casey, where Anthony Kennedy said, it's part of American liberty that you can just sort of wander through the mystery of life and sort of wonder what it means. And the government can't decide on things like when life begins and whether life is sacred.
Could I get an Adolf Hitler?
But apparently the government can decide what the minimum wage should be.
Uh-huh.
The government can decide that racial discrimination is wrong. The government can make all sorts of moral decisions, but it can't decide that killing innocent babies for sexual convenience is wrong.
Well, again, what we're talking about, I always feel like I want to teach. I want to be really clear with whoever's listening right now that even if you are pro-abortion, folks, listen to this logic. Let's say you're pro-abortion. You still need to jump through the right hoops. You can't just say, forget about the Constitution. You have to say, in the Constitution, is there a place where I can find a right to an abortion? If the answer is no, you either need to amend the Constitution, which is possible, but you cannot simply say we are going to decide to invent something in this document. So all the justices are doing today or Monday or whenever this ruling comes out is upholding the Constitution. They are effectively not even taking a stand on abortion. Let's be honest. They are not taking a stand on abortion.
Remember, Justice Scalia said, the left gave up on the constitutional process of amendment when the ERA failed. And they saw that Roe v. Wade succeeded and people put up with the court legislating from the bench. So the left will never again try a constitutional amendment, because it's difficult. It involves convincing both houses of Congress and three quarters of the states. Whereas here, you just need to convince five lawyers on the Supreme Court, all of whom went to Harvard or Yale, to say the same thing that all their friends and former colleagues and NPR and the New York Times are saying. So that the Supreme Court in the hands of the left became five philosopher kings running the country by decree in coordination with our economic and political and media elites. And so they would shove the most liberal abortion policies that are popular on the west side of Manhattan down the throat of Mississippi. They would shove the sexual mores of San Francisco down the throats of Alabama. And that's what happened with same-sex marriage. The Second Amendment ruling is extremely important because it points to the vision of man that is in the Constitution. And liberals, leftists, progressives aren't just rejecting the sanctity of the Constitution. They're rejecting the whole idea of the person on which America is built. America is built on a notion that individual human beings are images of God with a certain human dignity, tainted by the fall, with inalienable rights granted them by God, because there's no other place for them to come from. Natural selection doesn't protect life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It has nothing to say about those things. So if Darwin is your ultimate explanation of the world, nobody has any rights. It's just do whatever you can to whom you ever you can. So they are rejecting that vision of the person. That vision of the person entails the right to defend yourself against crime. It also entails the right, if necessary, to rebel against a tyrannical government. Remember, our country was created by citizens' militias, Lexington and Concord. Yes?
We're going to go to a break. Folks, I just want to say that we'll be back with plenty more. Oh, John Zmirak. Thank you.
Once there was a way to get back homeward.
Folks, we know that you already know this, but because we taped this show early, we literally just now, during the break between these segments, discovered that thing for which people have been praying literally now for half a century has happened. Anyone who doesn't believe God answers prayer, anyone who is so negative as to say nothing matters, why bother, America's over, folks, I want to tell you, not only is that a bad attitude, but today you can see pretty clearly it's wrong. We need to thank God for what can only be an answer to prayer. Thank you, Lord, for this great day. Amen. I'm overcome. I can't believe this, in my lifetime that this happened today.
My first thoughts about politics that I remember ever having, I had just turned 8 years old, because I'm born in December. It was 1972, and my mother saw something on television and was really upset. And I asked her what it was, and she said, "Well, the Supreme Court, it's this bunch of judges in Washington who decide everything, apparently," which is bad enough. They just, you know how a woman has a baby in her stomach before she gives birth? I said, yeah. She said, well, now it's legal for a doctor to kill the baby. I said, legal in America? She said, yeah. I never could wrap my head around that to this day. And within 3 years, I was at age 11, I was volunteering for the Right to Life Party in New York, getting signatures for their candidate for mayor. And it has been my first and foremost issue in life since then. And it's extremely exciting. This is a fall of the Berlin Wall kind of moment.
That's correct. That's correct. That's exactly what it is. I mean, look, you and I are old enough to know that the fall of the Berlin Wall, the fall of the Soviet Union was unthinkable. We just thought like, oh, yeah, maybe someday, theoretically. When it happened, I remember, obviously, in 89, the wall came down. In 91, the USSR was dissolved. When those things happened, it was hard to process because I had lived in a world, you know, it's like when somebody tells you Pluto is not a planet, or, you know, Eurasia is a continent. You go, no, wait, what do you can't change this is foundational. Yeah. And yet in our lifetime, communism in the Soviet Union ended. The Soviet Union ended. This, it's been 50 years, 49 to be exact, but really 50. And we dreamt of this day, and here we are. It happened a few moments ago that this was made official, John. And I just want to say praise the Lord, because listen, folks, many of you listening right now, many of you listening right now could have been killed in the womb by a confused mother and father who thought, we need to do this because something, but they didn't. They could have, they didn't.
Eric, did you see
that your life is no different than the life that they would have aborted? And that today, finally, the justices of the Supreme Court released a decision saying, no, that's it's a life. And there's nothing in the Constitution that says we must preserve the right to take that life.
A few days ago, Eric, I saw a piece in the Washington Post written by a clearly pro-choice reporter named Caroline Kitchener. She is their official abortion reporter. And she did a long feature about what she thought of as a woman who she thought of as a victim of the Texas heartbeat law, which says no abortion after a heartbeat can be detected. And she wrote this piece about the difficulties this woman faces and her troubles. And the problem is, it's a happy story with a happy ending to any normal person. When this woman gets an ultrasound and finds out, not only do the kids have a heartbeat, she can't have an abortion, but it's twins, it's twin girls. She immediately gets excited and says, it's a miracle, I'm glad I'm keeping them. The boyfriend marries her. They're still married as of now. They're delighted to have each other. They're delighted to have the kids. But to the Washington Post, this is a tragedy because they're blue collar. They live in Texas. They don't. Their kids won't go to boarding school. They won't go to Harvard. They won't go to Paris. They're going to live in the Bible Belt where people try to pray for football games. And so to the readers of the Washington Post, this is tragic. I mean, the boyfriend can't skateboard all day anymore. He had to get a job, a blue-collar job.
He could run for governor.
Presents that as like a tragedy.
He could run for governor of Texas. He could run for president. Is his name Beto? Be honest.
The woman's not a billionaire, so he didn't have that motivation to marry her that Beto did.
This is, I tell you.
So I have a column about this at stream.org. Oops. The Washington Post ran a heartwarming pro-life article, and I sent my column to the reporter. I said, you did a great job reporting this story. As a result, it's a heartwarming pro-life story, which I'm not sure you intended, but thank you very much.
Okay, folks.
I did not hear back.
I posted this on my Twitter account. Folks, if you're on Twitter, please retweet John's article. Please retweet most of what I put on there. These are the most important things imaginable. We'll be right back to celebrate more with John Zmirek. Standing in the dark. Happy days are here again. We have a Supreme Court that has ruled. We're taping this early, so you heard this hours ago, but we're just responding to it in the moment. Ruled that there's no place in the Constitution that says abortion is a protected right. We all knew that, but how nice that a majority of Supreme Court justices know that. We're celebrating really right now with John Zmirek and Albin Sadar.
Yes.
Producer of this program, you had a comment about what happened to you in 1973.
Yeah, in 73, I was a sophomore at Clarion State College, and I realized I wasn't a liberal. I realized I was a conservative, because when they passed that, I said to myself, wait a minute, this doesn't make any sense. It's obviously taking a human life. You can't get around that. You might say it's a choice or this, but you have to come to grips with the fact that you're choosing to end a human life. And I realized, like, there's no reasoning on the liberal left side that, oh, it's just a bunch of tissues. No, it's a human life. Give it 9 months and you'll see it, you know, in person, so to speak.
Listen, people who don't understand, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who, you know, was not living at a time when this was some big hot issue, but he wrote, I quote it in my Bonhoeffer biography. He wrote very, very clearly that it is nothing but murder. He didn't say it dispassionately. He didn't say it without compassion. Anybody who's close to this issue knows that that this is difficult for some people. And in fact, let's be honest, many women are bullied into this by their boyfriends who do not want to get married. They do not want to be stuck with this person. No. They just want to have sex with this person. And they then threaten them, if you don't get an abortion, I'm out of here. I can't deal with this. So because a lot of these broken women want to cling to these broken men, they go along with this decision. We have to be clear, folks. There's nothing happy about this. This is no reason to celebrate. And anyone who tells you it is, the idea of an abortion is a cause for celebration, they're searing their own consciences. I don't understand how they get it.
By the way, Ronald Reagan said that, you notice how everybody that's for abortion is already here already. They're already born.
Yeah,
I love what Joe Sobrin said about it. He said, to our Playboy culture, a pregnant woman is a broken toy, and the abortionist is a toy maker who fixes her so you can play with her again.
I remember you're quoting that. It's so bleak, but it's true.
Yeah.
And I think we have to be honest. You know, now that this has happened, maybe we can have the other side of the conversation where we talk about how women have been used and abused by men. In other words, when you talk about things like toxic masculinity, this is what we're talking about,
folks. Oh, yeah.
We're talking about a culture where men take advantage of women and then persuade the women, like Stockholm syndrome, to participate in their own degradation.
Did you ever see those college boys with the sweatshirts that said hose before embryos?
That says it all.
Hose before embryos. These guys know. They know the stakes. And indeed, I think as one state after another embraces human dignity and decency and the best interests of women, you're going to see the sexual revolution gradually repealed with all the destruction and the chaos. But do you know Jennifer Roback Morse? She's a scholar.
I've had her as a guest at Socrates in the City. Go to socratesinthecity.com, Jennifer Roback Morse.
Her group, the Ruth Institute, is having its summit for the survivors of the sexual revolution right now, this weekend, in Lake Charles, Louisiana. And it's going to be a very festive atmosphere, I'm sure, after this decision came out. But she talks about the sexual revolution as being like the Russian revolution, the French revolution, the Nazi revolution, a political power grab based on a utopian vision of man, an imaginary picture of man that forces millions of people, using the power of the state, forces them to go along with that utopian vision and results in misery, death, and degradation for tens of millions of people. Her book is The Sexual State, and in it, she makes this argument that the sexual revolution is every bit as much a bloody political revolution as the Chinese revolution. Oh, I see that my commentary, which I wrote in advance, being ready for it, about Roe v. Wade, Dancing on Roe v. Wade's Grave. My new column is up at stream.org, so people, please check it out.
Are you writing now, John, for stream.org? Folks, stream.org, check it out. I think, you know, it's inevitable, John, that if you don't value life, which pro-abortion people, whether they're explicit about it or aren't, they don't. If you don't value life, you don't really value anything. Ultimately, anything goes. It's about power. It's not about truth. It's about power. And so probably today, as a result of this ruling, upholding what I like to call the U.S. Constitution. There will be protests, riots, violence. And of course, we know that the left in blue states and in blue cities, they look the other way. They don't seem to care. If you take a selfie in the United States Capitol, you could go to jail for a long time. But if you smash the windows of expensive shops
or try to assassinate a Supreme Court justice like they did with Brett Kavanaugh a week and a half ago, we're never going to hear about that assassination attempt on a sitting Supreme Court justice. We're never going to hear about that again because we're hearing about people who took selfies at the Capitol, somebody who wore a Viking helmet and sat in Nancy Pelosi's chair. He's in jail for 3 years for doing that. He didn't raise a hand to anyone. He was talking to the cops. Jacob Chansley, say his name. He's rotting in jail as a prisoner of the January 6th Stalinist purge trials that we're living through right now. And this is why the Second Amendment is so damn important, because the people in charge of our oligarchy, our ruling class, they want to be like the Latin American oligarchy, where they have absolute power, absolute privilege, and not even really subject to the law. And you and I can't get justice, can't get public services unless we can pay a bribe. I've got a new piece coming out later today about how the Hacienda Society. The goal of the left is to have a very small oligarchy living in a very nice house surrounded by a very big fence, and they have all the guns and all the money. And
like in a lot of Mexico. We'll be right back talking to John Zmirak.
Someone called us Babylon, those hungry hunters tracking.
Make like a Mr. Milk Toast.
Oh, we interrupt this program to continue the program. Albin, we've got a couple things to mention before we go back to Zmirak or whatever it is we're doing today. We got Zmirak, and then we've got Matt Walsh. What is a woman? But I want to interrupt a couple things. First of all, in the opening of today's show, Albin, I mentioned how on social media, even sometimes on Instagram, which is usually much, much happier in terms of a climate than Twitter, people post these kind of sour, like, you know, comments like, oh, getting a tan, being all hoity toity. I don't really understand. Anyway, you know what I'm talking about, that I posted a picture of Suzanne and me. We're just happy that we're outside. We don't get to do this. We live in Manhattan, which is, you know, it's not really vacation land. So we took a picture and somebody posts something like, oh, letting the common people see how the other half lives, huh? And I thought, what was in the picture? You know, was I wearing a diamond breastplate? What was I doing in the picture that made somebody who probably has a perfectly happy life make it seem like I was kind of putting on airs, you know, grilling with solid gold utensils?
Yes. Right. Yeah. You weren't wearing masks. Maybe they're still wearing masks.
It's just so funny, but on social media, people don't edit themselves, which they should. And they not only do they misspell everything, but they often give vent to these negative ideas. And I want to say, come on, man, praise the Lord. God is good. Even when things are bad, God is good, folks. But that's another story. I don't want to give a sermon. I do want to mention a couple things real quick. We know that Roe v. Wade either today or Monday, I don't know. We know that this thing is going down. And because a lot of people are upset that they cannot have sex with whomever and then kill the children that result therefrom, they're deciding to like loot and burn stuff, which I think is probably not a great idea. Probably doesn't say a lot about your point of view, but who are we to judge? If you read my book, Fish Out of Water, it's the story of my life up until I came to faith. You'll know that I actively participated in making the decision to abort a child. So I don't speak from some position of not being able to understand what that's like. It's wrong. There is 100% forgiveness in the God of the Bible, in Jesus. But we need to acknowledge when something's wrong, and we ought not to be pretending it's a good thing. But that's another story. In any event, The fight for the unborn is raging in America right now. And we know that it's worth mentioning an award-winning film is coming out called The Matter of Life. In fact, it's out now. The Matter of Life is the name of the film. You can get it at salemnow.com, salemnow.com, salemnow.com. I tell you to go there all the time anyway, salemnow.com. Great stuff. The Matter of Life. Doesn't really matter where you are on the issue of choice or abortion, or whatever. It's a film really for both sides, which is why I'm particularly excited about it, because we need to talk seriously about this issue. We need to understand what we can understand about it. We know people won't always agree, but I just think it's important. So you want to go to salemnow.com and stream The Matter of Life, The Matter of Life at salemnow.com. And Alvin, we should also mention, for the next week only, if you go to Nutramedics.com and use the code Eric June, is that right? Yes.
Yes. Eric
only June. This week, only for the next until the end of June. If you use the code Eric June, you get 30% off. It's always 20% off if you use the code Eric on everything. 20% off Nutramedics.com. Use the code Eric. But Eric June in the month of June, so the next week, all of the immune stuff. So vitamin C, vitamin D, quercetin, magnesium, zinc, and there are other immune thing. All of those, if you use Eric June, it's 30% off. We highly recommend you take advantage of that. We'll be back.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.